thing you need to know is this: a resolution means nothing. Okay? Resolutions have no official capacity within the church. It just means this is the way we feel. Okay? The bigger thing here was that the majority of the people that were elected are not conservative. Let's just put it that way, okay? And how they may vote as that comes up. They are trying to change the discipline again. They're going to bring it up again at 2020 conference, what 2019 conference affirmed. They're going to bring that up again and try to vote it down. Okay? But here's the question I want to address about, and I'm going to cut this sermon all to pieces, but this is what I want to address. When we're in such a situation as this where there are different people pulling, and they were obviously very high emotional stakes. Ken, am I correct that, like, at the first ballot when there was a very prominent pro-LGBTQ person elected from the lays, by the way, lay delegates, which Ken was, vote for lay people. Clergy like myself, we vote for clergy. We don't vote across the, I can't vote for lay. He can't vote for clergy. Okay? It's two different separate ballots. But when they were elected, there was a huge uproar, clapping, celebration, et cetera, et cetera. And the bishop himself said, guys, we can't do this. Y'all need to be quiet, okay? But this was going on. Here's the question. How do we live in such a situation as this? Because it's not only down there. It's here. It's in the world. It's in our politics. It's in our families. There's always an emotional stake, and we always live in uncertain times, don't we? I mean, you know, how many of you are worried now, what's going to happen with oil prices, and are we going to go to war because people are shooting torpedoes and bombing tankers? I mean, we're in uncertain times, right? We don't know what the final outcome is going to be on different situations. We have a lot of this going on even within our country as we talk about abortion, immigration, racial, gender equality, Social Security, gun rights, going down the list, walls, and anything else. Put anything you want to in there. How do I live as a Christian in this tension? And how do I live with these people that I disagree with completely? How am I supposed to do that? Because it's hard, because here's the brass tacks. Whether you're talking about a family or politics, let's use family. If Penny and I get in an argument situation here, and she tells me something that I did offended her, and I think I have every right to do whatever I did, what's going to happen? Yeah, I'm going to lose. I know, Sandy. I know that. That's, but think about what those situations, what happens. It escalates. She says something to me. Well, I'll just show her, you know. And then she's expecting me to do something, and it's going to escalate right on up, isn't it? Say what? Nothing. Yes, it has solved nothing. It just makes you mad. You have, this is what I'm going to term it. We have two hearts that are not at peace, okay? I think I'm right. She thinks she's right. Doesn't matter who's right. That doesn't matter. It may be one side's right. It may be that neither side's right. But the heart is at war, and I'm going to show you. Well, you think that's thinking I'm going to cook for you today? You know? It just escalates. And it doesn't matter if it's family or if it's political or if it's church or anything else. So how do we deal with this? Because this is what happens. Pretty soon, I'm right, she's wrong. You know what that does? That makes me say I'm better than she is. Same thing if you're talking about the sides we're just talking about. I believe this way on this side, so I'm better than they are. I have to justify myself. I have to defend my actions, if you will. And I do it from a point, I'm going to show you. So neither heart's at peace. It continues to escalate. How do we deal with that? Guess what? It's been that way since the beginning of time. The early church was that way. They had conflict going on just like we do. The Apostle Paul, who remember before he became the Apostle Paul, he was Saul, and he was going out and he was trying to kill all the people who were preaching Jesus before he became a preacher, and he had a heart at war. He said, "You want to tell me about peace? I'm going to throw you in jail and cut your head off." And suddenly he accepts Christ and he becomes one of the greatest disciples that we know, writing much of the New Testament for us. But yet, when the Apostle Paul came to, he was accused of things. He was accused of teaching heresy. Did you know that? Remember, the Jews came against him and said, "Paul, how dare you bring them Gentiles into the church?" And Paul was bringing the Gentiles in, and not only was he bringing them in, he said, "Hey, it's okay, guys, when you come in, no, you don't have to go get circumcised. It's okay. And yes, you can still have barbecues, just not barbecue pigs that were offered to idols." If you go read Acts, that's basically what happens. And they were on Paul because they say he was heretical, if you will, teaching false prophets, which the Council of Jerusalem told him he was doing right. He was dealing with controversy. All of his churches, remember Corinth, they had love feast. And if you go read Corinth, they don't tell you all this in the book. You've got to kind of read through some wording because they like to change words so that we don't mess kids up too bad. But the Corinth church was having a love feast. This was before communion became set the way it was. And the love feast was becoming orgies. And then they had this guy in there that his dad died, so he married his stepmother and was living with her. And Paul's got to deal with all this stuff. And in all of that, he's got people coming in teaching things that were ungodly. The Galatians, remember the Galatians? He says, "You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Who let these heretics in here to teach this stuff? This is not what I taught you." There was backbiting, name-calling going on throughout the churches, yet Paul, through all of it, kept saying, as much as possible, be at peace. How did he do that? Because the situation he was dealing with is just like Ken has described here. How do we deal with this? And guess what? Even though they don't realize it, it's from a spiritual standpoint. We have to deal with it from our heart. Because human tendency is to strike back when we're spoke against. Human tendency is to justify our actions. Human tendency is, if you want to hit me, I'll hit you back harder. That's human tendency. And that comes from a heart that is, let's use this terminology, has the anatomy of peace does, a heart that's at war rather than a heart that's at peace. But what did Jesus tell us? Okay, I'm on script. You ready? Computer people. John 14:27. Jesus told us this, told his disciples this. "Peace I leave with you." He's getting ready to leave. "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Don't let your heart be troubled. Don't let them be afraid. I'm giving you peace." Remember what else Jesus said about peace? Or about the heart, he said, "What comes out of the man's lips comes from the heart." So the heart was the peace that had to be pure to control it. He's giving us a peace that we can live in this tension and live in a way that doesn't hate the other person, that doesn't make that person that has a different view than me my enemy. Because you've got to get that out. If you ever think of them as your enemy, you've already lost in many ways, at least as far as the peace. Not only that, in Philippians, Paul wrote, "The peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall guard your heart." He knew that the peace that God gave him passed all understanding and kept his heart at peace. Because let me ask you a question. With all those problems Paul was dealing with, why didn't he ever get mad? You know, we never once hear of him getting mad, ranting, and raving. Not even when he was condemned to die. Never once do you hear him rant and rave, "This is unfair." You know what he said? He said, "For me to die is gain. To be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord Jesus Christ. Come even now. Let's go." He had a heart at peace. In John 16:33, Jesus said this, "I've said this to you so that you may have peace. In the world you face persecution, but take courage, I've conquered the world." In other words, Jesus is telling his disciples and you and I, you can have peace even though you're in this world, because this world's going to be against you. But you can still have peace. And Paul again in Colossians wrote this, "Let the peace of Christ rule your heart, to which indeed you were called." Paul tells us we got to have a heart at peace. How do we do that? I've kind of briefly went through 4 pages of sermon here, illustrating how the hearts are at odds many times between people. How do we deal with that? What do we do? Look at what Paul told us in Romans chapter 12. Notice what it says. The marks of a true Christian. This is how we deal with this. All right, go ahead. "Let love be genuine." Bob, what does genuine mean? You know, real. Real, okay? Genuine means real. Right? "Let love be genuine." What does genuine love do? Think about Corinthians 13. Genuine love always puts the other person first. Genuine love always hopes the best for them. Genuine love always cares about them. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that you accept, because genuine love also confronts people when they're wrong, but they do it in a way that's not antagonistic. They do it in a way that hopefully can just be with two hearts at peace. We're just going to simply have to disagree. But we accept the other person as a person, not as our, quote, enemy, if you will. So Paul says, first, love has to be genuine. You have to remember, love never stops. Remember, that's what he says in Corinthians 13. Love never fails. Love always endures. So if love is real for the other person, we have to continue to wish the best for them. He says, hate what is evil. Notice what he doesn't say. He doesn't say hate the person. Hate what is evil. Because later on he will tell us we do not war against flesh and blood, but we war against principalities, against things set in high places. We're to have hearts at peace. We're to hate the evil, but hold to the person, as it says there, hold fast to what is good. The people, the relationships. He tells us we're supposed to love one another with mutual affection. We're to outdo one another in showing honor. Ken, was there any outdoing showing of honor at conference? Most of the time when we have a disagreement with somebody, like I'm using with a spouse, is there, Gary's already holding his head down. There is no outpouring of love and honor, is there? We don't do that. We don't know how to disagree civilly anymore. You know, that's a thing of the past, unfortunately. We're supposed to outdo one another by showing others honor. Can we do that? Only if your heart's at peace. If your heart's at war, you can't do it. If you're already thinking that you're better than they are, if you're already thinking that, forgive me, they're idiots, you know, which we're not supposed to do, you already have a heart that's not at war. So you got to have a heart at peace. You can only do that when you're comfortable in who you are in Jesus Christ. Paul told us, do not lag in zeal, be ardent in spirit, serve the Lord. Now, it would be very easy when you come against these people, like Ken has described in some way with conference, it's very easy to get depressed. Ain't worth me doing anything. I ain't 30% or whatever. But he told us, don't lag in zeal. keep it up. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord to the best of your ability. But at the same time, you have to allow others to serve him as they see fit, which again may not be exactly how you want to. Rejoice in hope. And I want to say, Paul, what hope? But he says, rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Wait a minute. I don't like those terms. Anybody want to persevere in suffering? No hands here? Nobody wants to persevere in suffering? Anybody here want to? How about persevere in prayer? Well, some of us are, but I'd rather have the answer to prayer before I get it out of my mouth, wouldn't you? Most of us would, wouldn't we? But he says, persevere in suffering. Persevere. Continue to hope. In other words, we got to continue to pray to the God of hope. Because, listen, it's not about me, my side. It's not about you, your side. It's about him. And he's the one that's got to judge, and he's the one that's got to sort all this mess out, and he's the one that's got to straighten it up, not me. I just got to be faithful to him as much as I can. And then watch what he says right after that. Contribute to the needs of the saints. In other words, keep giving. And extend hospitality to strangers. Wait a minute. Extend hospitality to strangers. I'm okay if that's a stranger that I've never seen before and I don't know where he stands, but am I okay if that's a stranger that believes different than me? Some of you are looking at me like, what are you talking about? What I mean is that person that's on the other side of the aisle that thinks different than me may be the stranger I'm supposed to extend hospitality to. Doesn't mean I agree with them. Doesn't mean I buy into their theology. It means that I extend hospitality to them and I see them as a person that is still a person of God and that God can work on and God can work in. Doesn't mean I like their actions necessarily. Just means I'm supposed to be cordial to them. And you think, well, I may not be interpreting that right. Well, really, look at what he says next. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and not curse them. And I want to say, okay, Lord, I'm going to bless them. Bring your wrath down upon them. Wait a minute. When I did that, I just got a heart at war again. You see, this heart at peace thing, you got to keep working it. And it's very hard, and I have not got there. I'm nowhere near there. I can be there for 3 minutes, and you can say something, and I'll be back at the other way. But it's something you've got to keep working at. You've got to keep examining and say, where am I coming from, and how am I seeing others? Bless those who persecute them. Bless them and not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. We can do that pretty good. Well, wait, maybe I can't. I couldn't rejoice yesterday when L.A. won. You know, we can't rejoice when our favorite team loses sometimes. We can't rejoice when our side loses. We can rejoice when they win. And it's hard to weep for the person who's on the other side against you. And how do we do this? Only if our heart's at peace. Live in harmony with one another. Glenda, you're on the spot on this one because you're the choir director. What does harmony mean? Harmonies blend, right? Harmonies are supposed to blend. How do we live in harmony with somebody who thinks completely different than we do? Very difficultly. But only with a heart at peace. Because otherwise, you're not going to be in harmony. It's going to continue to be one clash after the other. The drum beats are going to be on the wrong beat. The guitar is going to be on the wrong key. And the piano is going to be in a different key. And we won't be in harmony. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. And then the key. If possible, so far as depends on you, live peacefully with all. Now, I cut this sermon all to pieces. You've got the gist of it, though. How do we do it? Only as our heart is focused on Jesus Christ. And only as we let Him fill us. And only as we let Him guide the words and the actions we have. What is your next step today? Go ahead and flip to that. Thank you. Can you memorize Romans 12:18, which means as much as possible, as far as it depends on you, live peacefully with all people? And as you do that, you're going to have to struggle with this. Let me tell you what's normally going to happen. The first thing, and John, since you're sitting there, I'm just going to pick on you, okay? John and I are on different sides of this issue, maybe we think. So, okay, John, I'm just going to bite my tongue, and I'm just not going to say nothing. But still inside, I'm like, you don't know what the heck you're talking about. I got a heart at war. And I got to keep working on it. But first thing I got to do is I got to bite my tongue and maybe start with outward motions. And I got to say, God, you need to fill my heart with peace. And it may start with me biting my tongue. And if I just continue to bite my tongue and don't ask for the heart of peace, I just get more angry and angry and angry inside, and it builds up till Mount Vesuvius happens. So you may have to start with just biting your tongue, but look for and pray for the heart to be at peace. That second one we may all need to check. God, help us to have a heart at peace. And God of love, help us not to hate people. Because it's very easy to start hating people who think differently than you do. Whether it be someone from another country, or whether it be someone who votes for somebody you don't like, or whatever, it's very easy for us to suddenly start hating people because of what they believe. And as a Christian, we're not supposed to hate anybody. We're supposed to show them love. Think about Jesus. Lord, forgive them, even though they know not what they do. And I'm thinking, what are you saying forgive them for? Why didn't you call 10,000 angels? But then he wouldn't have sacrificed his life for me. So thank you, Lord, for what you did. And then maybe the last one, God, may you get all the glory. So I invite you to check those as the ushers come forward to receive our offering. Thank you, Leon, for sailing with me. My heart's at peace on the water now. Lord, as we come back to you today, help us to have hearts at peace. Help us, Lord, in the midst of all the confusion that may be going on within our family, within our country, within our world, within our church. Help us to have that peace that passes understanding, that peace that you give us, that peace that we can have because we know beyond the shadow of a doubt that our names are written in your book of life and that you will see us through and that no matter what may happen, we're secure in you. Bless both these gifts as well as the giver and oversee the use of these so that these funds are used in a way that brings you glory. We ask in your name. Amen. Bob, would you lead us? Because a lot of these fathers are hungry, and Dick's done left to take care of his ribs.
Okay. By all means. Our final hymn this morning is Let There Be Peace on Earth. And please rise as you are able. It's on page 431 in your hymnals.
I want the thighs.